We'll just forget it.
Okay.
You got some stuff you wrote, Mr. Foley, on your childhood then.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm going to give you the one that something about I say, my three mottos. I have to look through here. If you want to, I have I did a lot of writing in those 3 years.
That's great that you did.
This is Henry Foley. Right?
Yeah.
Mr. Foley, this is fantastic.
Here's one. I was pretty old when I wrote that.
You got your age on it anywhere?
Well, yeah, some of them. Yeah, I got the years. Well, each one's years. Years.
You can smell them, tell you've been working on them.
Mr. Foley, why did you decide to do this?
Well, I did a lot of it when I was in school. And then I did a lot of it since I retired. But to see mostly when I was in school, essays and things like that, because I personally presentations, you know. And then on top of that, what are we going to find this year? Okay.
Ms. Foley, what year were you born then?
1905.
What was your, what day?
March 26th.
And you were born in Maeslick?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What were your parents' names?
Grant Foley. Ulysses Grant Foley was my father. And my mother was Mary Ellen Parker Foley.
And her maiden name was Parker.
Mm-hmm.
Ulysses. I take the family was very...
Ulysses Grant. See, those old people used to name their children after people they liked.
Well, they didn't know him, but
that's
a great general.
Yeah,
after Civil War general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, were your parents slaves then? Or were they
born
after that? Your grandparents then would have been, right?
Well, my grandfather and grandmother on my mother's side, they married after the Civil War.
And you
got to 65,
didn't you?
And I did. And they probably, as young people.
Yeah.
But my mother, yes, they had 11 children, but see, they were born after the slaves.
After the Civil War.
Yeah.
What about your father, Henry?
Here's something I wrote in 1918.
I think that's great that you
wrote. That's just something I wrote about you women.
About us women?
Yeah.
You read this?
I'm the man, yeah.
That was your essays. It was you.
On miniskirts.
Mm-hmm. But.
Skirts 2, 3, and 4 inches above the knees can enhance a female figure, providing the woman is slim and shapely. But when they are raised much higher than that, they border on the vulgar and consequently offend the sense of decency of worthy men. If I'm around when my granddaughters reach the age of understanding, I shall tell them that when a woman desires to favorably impress her Prince Charming, she should, in the choice of her garments, leave something to his imagination. That's good. I agree with you.
Here's what I'm about to say. This was in 1975.
75?
You know what, Henry? It would be nice if you could tell her about when you started the school and how it was back there behind that old church.
I'm trying to find it.
You have that?
I'm glad it's personal, yeah.
Now, Ms. Foley, when were you born?
1914, September the 9th.
And you were born in
Mason
County.
About 3 miles out from Mays Lake, out there on the old Rhodes farm.
On what? Whose farm?
Charlie Rhodes farm. And my mother and father had come to Mays Lake. They married in 1908. And she was from Fleming County. And they came to Mays Lake and worked out in private families. He worked for the Mitchells. She worked for the Yanceys at $1.50 a week.
Well, I suppose
and
that
he
time.
Got $13 a month. Yeah. And then they for 6 years, or for about 6 years, I guess it was, they worked like that. And they, in the meantime, they bought themselves a little house in Mays Lake. But they decided they didn't want to live there. They wanted to go to the farm. So Papa had changed to go to the farm. Now, I'm not sure that he just went there in 14, but he went there somewhere around that.
Yeah.
And in 1914, of course, I was born out there on the farm, and he continued to work on the farm for, I think he stayed there about 3 or 4 years. And then, of course, he moved to another farm, the Darnell farm, and he worked there until 1921.
Did he sharecrop?
Yes, he was a sharecropper. And then in 1921, we moved over to a Shanklin place out on that road, that old Big Spring Pike, I think you call it, going out there as you pass the motorcycle place, you know, and you go straight on.
Yeah.
This is where I live anymore.
And we lived there.
I tell you about all that.
For all until, I guess, 27. And in the meantime, I started to school at Mays Lake in the new school in 1921.
Now, which new school is
that's
that?
That's the old, they called it Mason County Training School. That's where the Cackler place is now, the Cackler Auction House. That was a nice school, 4 rooms in the basement. Oh, they were very proud of that. And the black people had gotten money together and solicited, of course, and got their money for it, didn't they, Henry?
Mm-hmm.
They built that school.
Because
in the 1918, was it that they started? We didn't know 21 was the first year that they had it, because I went to school there first year. That's when I started school.
Now, where did the black children go to school before the schoolhouse was built?
In the schoolhouse behind the church. That's where Henry went to school. It had 2 rooms in it, Henry. Yeah.
Well, at first, it just had one, but then they built another.
Oh. And I don't know when that was. I think they built that school through the church, didn't they, Henry? It was on the church's ground.
No, somebody gave the private ground to after slavery for church and the school.
Oh, that's
the church was put in the front, you know,
yeah.
And the school in the back of it.
Do you know who gave them the ground?
They might have that in the, you might have some, in the church. They might have it in the record.
Well, that's somebody records. I need to go to the church records and see what all.
William Grant might
that's
have.
The Baptist church now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
We had 2 other churches there, though. We were rich in churches. We had the Methodist church, and that was a Christian church. I would go around to different ones. My playmates, some of them were Methodists. They weren't Methodists, but the parents were.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I would always go to my own church, usually. And sometimes I'd go around to the other church after Sunday school.
Now, was this a black Methodist church, or was it a combined Methodist church?
No, it's a black Methodist church, right. And it burned down one time. It was right down the road there from that old store that they have there. It has somebody has a radio shop or something in it.
Down from Geico's.
Right, it's down on that side.
Down which way? Towards
the creek. You know where that creek comes up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the church was right on the creek.
And you walked right off the road into the church almost. It had a long step back. Went down there. Off the road.
Did it go? Where there's a house down there at the bottom of the hill. Was it on top of the hill?
It was on top.
No, it was down there in the corner. But if you go down the road there, there's a cover that comes under the road. You can see that.
Okay.
Well, then the church was a. Right on that. And right now, where the church stood, you'll see some little stables and things like that, right there on the side of the road. But after the church burnt there, they closed it. They took over that land and they put it in their lot there.
I can't quite place it.
Well, you see, I think your church was up there close to the road, Henry. You remember it was very close to the road. It was all tall, and I know you went down steps like beside it, and we could go down there to a basement or something they had under it. They had something under it. You see, there was Hicks's store.
Now, where was Hicks's store?
That's where this Geico place is.
Okay.
Well, he had one before that.
We know, but we're trying to get her situated now with this church. All right, there's Hicks's store. Then there was this little house that my man Sherwood lived in. Then there was a little old long house that Cornelius Taylor lived in. Remember? You went one room, you went in the front room, the back next room, and the next room. They had one room right behind the other.
That was on down that
All right. Now, that's right up there on the road, though, now. It's on 68.
He was down, and you're going down the creek, and the creek up there.
Now, I'm not going behind the houses now, honey. These things all faced on 68.
On the old pike.
Right. They were on the old pike. Right there on the old pike. I know that. And then the next thing to the Taylor place was the old church. And the church wasn't down in there behind Poe's. It was right there on...
It
faced up there so we could go up on the road. We walked right down off the road into the church. And then there were steps. There were steps right down beside it.
I don't know. Church was too, very, I don't know.
Yeah, it was very close to the edge of to the road. And then behind there, they even had that lane that you could go on down there past where Sam Mastin and them Rooksbury's.
You couldn't help but see it.
Yeah, Rooksbury's and somebody else. Whose house is that? The little house over there, and then there's old Miss Franklin lived on back there. And
now that's that lane that's still
back
there.
Right, that lane is right there. They had houses all behind there. But you see, there were buildings and things on this side of it too. And there's a little creek run there.
Yeah.
Well, now the church was on this side of the creek. And then so was the Sherwood place, and so was the old Miss Cornelia Taylor's place. Henry, I went there so many times there when I was a little girl.
I lived in Maryland.
Yeah, I know you lived there, sweetheart, but it's been quite a while. All right, and then there was a lot there behind that old church, too, that goes on down there where the Pogues had those stables and things now. But that church was close to the road.
But here it was right there, and here's the road, and here's this church.
Right.
Had a post. But that was all at the only building there. I mean, there, until later on, some of the two, three of them,
you don't remember the Taylors living there beside the church?
They went on down there. They were down on the lane. Went down there.
Cornelius Taylor and all the little redhead girls and everything.
Yeah,
as many times I've gone down to their little house.
But you went down there.
I didn't go down the lane, dear. I went down the road. Right down below
Mrs. Hill. You went down the road to it. But I mean, after you got off the road and went back down there. You can see the houses now. There's some of the houses.
No. Cornelius Taylor's house and the old Sherwood place, all burned. They gone. And I tell you about where the old Sherwood place was. There's a little old telephone building there.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a brick.
That was the only one.
That was about the old Sherwood place.
But it wasn't put there until later years. So man built that way after the war.
We're talking about way after the war.
After World War One.
Yes, yeah. Because after all, you're talking about
that. But I'm telling you about the things before that, back when I was a little boy. I'm about 10 years older than she is. But she wants to...
Well, sweetheart, I remember well, though, when the church was there. So the church
didn't
change.
Yes, the church there, but the...
But it was different before that time. It wasn't.
No, it was sitting out right there after where that... Everything covers, I told you, it comes under the...
Okay.
The road
there.
It's high there. Well, they're right just on the side. That's why, and the church was built, part of the church was on the creek. The branch came under there. And
underneath the church?
No, it didn't run on the church, but beside it.
Oh, okay.
Here it come like this.
It here, came behind the church.
Here is the cover. Here was, and the church stood over here, and here was this creek that went on down there. Mm. Went on down there.
And across
then
the pipe.
Along here, there's a line went way down there and ran into the farm, into Dr. Davis' farm. And there were three, four houses along the side of that. Some of them staying there now, I can show them to you. But there never was no houses on this side of that creek. There the creek went on down in there. And just over here, there were the other houses. You can come down here to the church, or you can come on down. To walk down the road, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then go on, turn there and went on down there. The houses that were once there, there are houses there now. I'm trying
across
to say one of the one, they on this side ain't nothing. Never was anything over there. There's always that lot there.
Okay.
With that house there where the Pogues You knew the Pogues, didn't you, Tony?
No, that's before Pogue. I got here. I've heard their names.
She doesn't know about that, Henry.
Well, listen to me. If you want to give the woman your version, I'm you too.
Well, I want both versions. But you remember, that was the way it was before. You remember growing up. It was horrible. Now, what you said there was a fire. There were several fires along the
way. Oh, several fires.
They were always having fires.
Do you know what caused them?
Oh, yes. Well, when you see that they had no fires, fighting the apparatus there.
Yeah.
And so the wind, when the weather, they brought the houses were close together, so more. And so they just, and the wind and things would carry the sparks around and to the other house.
How did Taylor White's house catch on fire?
He had four houses. Well, some, most of his houses.
How did his house catch on fire?
How did it? Well, some of them were, he was a frying man. And he cooked, does his own cooking and things like that. And he had coal oil stoves. And that most of them, he's the one that set most of the fire in the town.
And well, that was the only place he lived.
Those coal oil stoves there. Now see, he had those little coal oil stoves, you know, that there are different kinds of them. Now the ones with the wick, they're not quite as bad as the ones that were not with the wicks, you see. There are those that didn't have any wicks, they would explode sometimes. See, if you didn't clean them out.
And he couldn't see to clean
them. He couldn't see how to clean them out. But you know what he could do? He could patch his own clothes. He could do carpenter work. He could hang doors and do things. And he could go anywhere he wanted to in the town and in some place out in the country. He's a blind man. Miraculous about him. But nevertheless, he had and ran a store, too. He did.
Somebody told me he could make change.
Yeah, he could make change.
And from bills.
One of the reasons the way he people believed some things about him, he couldn't tell the difference in the paper bills. But he had the people believe it. See, we were close when he was. I kept him in his business. And then I stood for him up to too so much, you know. I didn't let him go too high because he would break me up. But I'd tell the companies and managers I was too much about him. And I said, tell him, up to $100, I said. And he would buy from him, then he would sell the stuff. And then he would sell ice. And he would, you know,
how did he know the difference between the bills?
He didn't know.
But
for people to give them to him.
He had a system.
Yeah. And he would take these, he had his drawers, you know, his cash registers and things, and they gave him what they call a $5 bill, but he wouldn't put it with the others. He had a place where he'd put it.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then waited, and well, I might not have been the only one, but when I happened to go down here, he said, come here, I want to show you something. What is this?
So you could tell him what he
was. I could tell him what it was. Then, but the people here believed that he could tell. But he could tell his metal farms.
Yeah.
But he had a good memory, you see. You have to depend and rely on
him. How did he become blind, you know?
Well, he probably inherited something. He wasn't blind all the time, but about 20 years old, something like that, he'd be going by. You know, people got things in their eyes, you know. Sometimes they hurt you, they inherit you, too. That's a social disease, sometimes you get people.
Yeah.
Then he had at one time been able to see it.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
That's why he could go all those places then.
Yeah, but.
I've never heard anything but good about Mr. White, you know, and what a remarkable man he was.
He could go out to the country, walk for miles.
That's where I was.
And go to houses that way, way off the road, and he could go there to them. And so anyway, he could do basket work, you know, and he could put bottoms in chairs, as I said, do better carpenter work than a lot of carpenters should do.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
And you know what? He had a wife, too.
Oh, I didn't know he had been married.
He did have a wife, didn't he?
Yeah, but
I remember
he never could see her. Some rested preacher that came from down in Florida up there that picked out a wife for him. And so she kept waiting. He kept waiting until she died.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I remember that. I'd ask my mama, how did he get his wife? And mama said, well, said he's blind, and said yes, he wanted a wife like anybody else. And I saw that little lady walk around there and go to town carrying her little lantern and carrying the little, this, that, and the other, you know. And that was Mr. Taylor White's wife. I couldn't understand how the blind man got
his wife. And you mean a minister from Florida came up and brought him a wife with him?
Well, see, that's where this person lived. And he grew up, you know, how the church ministered to all of them. And of course, sent her up there.
Sent her up there from Florida?
Yeah.
He sent her or brought her?
Well, I don't know how she came. I don't know how she got her. She didn't know where it ended.
But let me, you know, and think about how Maize Lick looked in 1921. I can see it now in my mind. But that big old long house over there, down below where that garage is, we call it the Edwards Garage, you know, or something.
Where Charlie Woods is now.
Yes, Woods Garage. And they had this long porch, and these old men would sit out there on a bench and smoke their pipes. I would come down there in the buggy, and we had to leave our horse at the livery stable. And about in that section there before you get to the, what's the name of that store there? Henry Rooksbury had the store. That's where old man Worthington had his livery stable. See, it would be practically on the spot where those boys got their garage now.
Where Elmer's got his garage?
Yes.
We had two livery stables there. Down there, there was one where you put yours. And there was the oven over there, too. Did you remember that oven?
Where's that now?
And they had scales and everything down this thing that was loaded.
Close together?
Yeah. One here was I was at where you parked your horse, and back over here was this other one. I'm trying to think of the name.
There was that alley down there. Was one on one side of the alley and one on the other?
No, this one was on the highway on 68.
Oh, okay. Would it have been down by Geico's?
Because that's where that stable was. It took in that. See where Geico's is now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Jim Hicks built his store,
bought that ground there.
Where the stable had been.
I think that fellow's name was Ryan. That owned that, Patsy Ryan, I believe. Yeah. He owned that, ran that livery stable.
Uh-huh. Patsy Ryan?
Yeah. Maybe somebody ought to have told you about his name.
Anyway,
Hicks bought that in the 20s. And built his store, and built the house that's built in there now, where we call this man Geico, whatever it is, you all find that. Anyway, that was the house that this Hicks built. That was the store he built that. Before he bought that ground, and then, but he, at that time, though, his store was up on the corner where that hardware store was. How long ago were you?
Ruth Painter had her
store. Yeah, he had a store there. I had a store there for 26 years.
Now, when that livery stable, was that in the 1800s, early 1900s?
It was in the 1900s. And he bought that patch of iron.
The Domain Soap Worthington's livery stable was there before 1900?
I don't know about that. I couldn't tell, but it was there all my life.
It was all there all my life. Too. And it had been
and this other one was there, too. Mm-hmm. But they were back to back. See, they were there. And then Ryan had scales over here, you know, that he took wagons and things on. Right down
they would
the
bring
there.
Their corn in and weigh it. Like
okay. Mm-hmm. Would he do something with it? Would he buy it from them? Or would they would just weigh it to know how much they had?
People would weigh it. I don't know how
did they have a mill in Maize Lick?
Yeah.
That's why they had...
Not all of them. No, not that kind. Wasn't no big mill like that.
Right.
There was a mill out there on the... As you go out to Helena. You remember? Out that way. And you guys got out there to go up a hill like...
Yeah.
Well, there was over here, right down here.
At the base of that hill.
Yeah, at the base of that hill, there was a mill.
That's on 324.
Yeah. That's okay. I think the baby's name is Sam.
But anyway, what was her name?
It was I said the name. I'll tell you what happened. That burned up in the end. But before that happened, my grandmother had one morning she went to work out there at Clark's and went up that way. But she said, you know, people were scared, afraid of automobiles. Our ancestors were very much afraid, just like horses and things were. They were afraid of automobiles. Anyway, she was going to work. She worked for Clark's. And she got out there and was going to work, you know. And evidently, those people figured out that the reason she had a heart attack there, someone came down at an automobile. They were scared of automobiles.
And an automobile came over that hill and
it didn't touch her or nothing. They just people just afraid of her.
Bless her.
So
heart.
Anyway, they found out my father I don't need to tell you about that yet. But anyway, she's going to work, she's right up there, and she had an attack. And up on the road. And the people saw her, they took and put her down in this here. Well, I tell you where that, you can see they got a building there now, which is over something, people, it's not the mill.
It's a little old stable.
Little old stable down here, just as you come down that hill, and just right if you come right down the hill, you can walk right on the roof of that stable, see? You
on
could,
the left
you
side,
know.
And you're coming back toward Maeslip.
Okay, all right, where that white house sits
right.
down in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And there was a mill that stood there. Where people would bring, where people would take them there and had the meal ground and all that kind of stuff. And they laid her in this mill, and that's where she died there. And but anyway, years later, and that old mill stayed there for a good while.
What was your grandmother's name? Do you know?
Yeah. She was a Parker.
Henrietta Parker, wasn't it?
Yeah, Henrietta
Parker. Mm-hmm. Well, now, was that mill where that house is down in there, mm-hmm. or was it?
It's in the yard of the house is there, and that all that ground belonged that mill. That mill maybe was operated by people who lived in the house over there.
Do you remember the name of the mill?
Yeah, it's the same one. I'd have to think of it. But anyway, this mill, it would burn up, and then they built, this man built another up right just above the school, as we called it the dirt road when you come up there. It went on out there before you went out that way.
Oh yes, I think I remember that one. Now, you see, as you go up there behind the bicycle place, you know.
The Kamasaki shop,
uh-huh. Well, there's a road that goes up there. All right, now along there was Old Man Wills had some sort of...
Well, Old Man Wills, the mill was Wills' mill.
That's what it was.
Wills'
it,
mill.
Uh-huh,
mm-hmm.
He was along in there somewhere. I don't know what's
happened to it. It was the first building that went there, on the end of the road.
Oh, okay, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was right there. I remember
right,
there being
a back this way, it was there. See, you went up that hill past the school, past the church and things out there, mm-hmm. and then after you got up there so far, the road turned and went this way,
turned
and then
to the
it
left.
Turned again.
Yeah.
But this dirt road, you could go on in it,
I've heard of the mill being there, but I didn't know it had been down at the bottom of that hill on three.
Yeah, it was first there.
Well, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's where my grandmother was laid out there and died down in the mill. She was walking up out there to Clark, because you know Clark's wasn't too far.
No.
You just went a little bit farther. That automobile hadn't come. She
was going
to John Clark's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She worked it.
1910 then?
Yeah, I was 5 years old.
You know about the mill. Do you remember any distilleries? I've heard there was some distilleries around Maze Lake.
Well, they happened after World War I. The whole bands, after, you know, when they said outlawed whiskey and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but the
moonshiners.
Yeah, but I didn't know anything about that.
Don't remember any distilleries before that time, hearing anything about
them. Yeah. I mean, but then when they started that, a lot of people got Jake Lake. Yeah, something like that.
Which was called Jake Lake.
Yeah, they,
from drinking bad moonshine.
Yeah.
They would walk,
walk.
Well, that's from drinking. You know, I've heard that expression, Jake Lake, but I never knew what it meant.
Yeah, I've seen those men walk like that, and they shake their
head. Now, Mrs. Bolden, Edna Bolden, said there used to be a bootlegger that lived on the alley there across from where she lives now. Or right in front of her house.
Yeah, hold on. People went to, they went to a bootlegger.
Yeah. Who was she talking about?
I don't know.
You know where her house is?
The
house right in front of hers, it's a blue house. And she said there used to be a bootlegger that lived there.
Yeah. Could have been.
Well, I don't know about that. See, I didn't live in
Maze Lake.
Yeah.
But you see, people made their own, you know.
They still do.
Well, I guess that was...
In the fall, you can smell it.
Uh-huh.
I know, out on three, where my sister lives, you can.
I remember, it used to be, you used to see him walking on the street.
Every evening, you had something.
Oh, yes, and I said, Mama, what's that? What's wrong? She said, you got a dead leg.
Now, your folks, what did your dad do?
He was a farmer. And he was gifted, too. He was all right.
How
he
was
came,
he gifted?
My father came from Bath County. He came down and worked on a farm there for some people. And then he met my mother in the 90s. And they married in 97.
What were your folks' names?
Bowling.
Well, I know, but their first names.
Well, my mother's name is Mary Ellen.
Mary Ellen, that's right, Jesus.
And his name was Ulysses Grant Bowden.
Yeah. Now, do you remember your grandparents at all?
His mother died.
His grandma.
Well, you knew your grandma died.
What about his grandpa? Didn't you know him?
No, he's dead.
Oh.
He died while my mother was still a girl. He died in 80. Oh.
So you never really knew your grandparents? I mean,
I knew my grandma on my mother's side, and on my father's side, I didn't know any of his people because. His father died. You see, people, they didn't live very long.
Yeah.
Because, one thing, pneumonia kills children. And my father, one Sunday was helping people bury one of their friends, you know, he said they're digging a grave for him. And the next Sunday they were digging his grave. See, he got warm, you know, and hung his jacket on him. Tombstone, pneumonia got him. And the fact is, my father didn't know anything about his own father because he was a little baby when his father died. But he saw his father's father lived long enough for my father to just get a little, just to see this much to say that. He must have had a lot of heat in him because he wore his hair in braids.
And he remembered his father wearing a braid. Yeah.
His grandfather,
His grandfather.
He never knew his father because his father died when he was a baby.
But it made an impression on him that his grandfather wore his hair braided.
He must have been in it.
Yeah, that's what he said. And he did have some in him. That's what they said.
What about his mother?
But his mother, she didn't live very long. He had a sister.
Who raised him? The grandparents?
No, his aunt. His aunt Betty and his mother's sister.
What's her name?
Well, I'm the first name that I'm going to tell you. I can't remember the first name. The last name.
Rosetta?
He called her his Aunt Bertie.
Bertie.
Yeah. Anyway, she took him And she and her husband didn't have any children of their own, and they took him. I've got a, all he had when he came down after he and my mother married, and he came down from Bath County. He had already brought it, I reckon, yeah. A feather tip. That his mother was on his mother. And it's a, I remember when I was growing up, every year, it seemed to me, my mother would take it, all the feathers out of it, yeah. And wash it, and put the feathers back in. By the way, talking about feather ticks, they got those feathers off the geese, you know.
Uh-huh.
But if me, I saw two geese just today when I was coming back, from town, down the hill.
Hunters have geese.
Who?
Hunters.
Well, these weren't hunters. These were that little house there right down there below the hill there. You know, the little hards with that little shack right down the hill.
Sure enough.
There were two. There were little geese walking in the hill there. Just down below that
well,
barn.
They'd like to have them, I guess.
One of
the, they had some calves in the yard one time.
Well, all the traffic is, one of the, they had to get
you
them.
Might have goose for supper.
Just two of them now. They were walking around on the road there.
No, when you grew up in and around Mays Lick, what do you remember about growing up there, being a little boy?
Well, I had to see my father died. I think it was 10 years. I remember that. Anyways, I've told you about his father died.
Uh-huh.
Well, pneumonia. Well, my grandmother, she was scared to death. She had an attack. Well, she had 11 children, of course, you know. That doesn't have to one week.
Yeah.
And so she had a heart. Scared her, I don't know.
She wants to know about what you want to
but
remember
anyway,
about growing up around Mays Lick.
I'm going to that.
He is.
But anyway, she died in 1910.
And he died in 1913.
He died in 1913. It was the first Sunday in January, 1913. On Sunday, and the first Sunday. I don't know whether the third or the fifth.
You were 7 years old.
Yeah.
But you married.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Oh, Lord, yeah.
Yes.
I expect you
but,
would.
But that left me the man in the family.
Yeah.
So we were within just, we had a little four-room house, and I can remember that Christmas. That Christmas was one that I always remember because Santa Claus came back to see us on his way and stopped over at our house on his way back to North Pole. And so we had Christmas. We had the plate. My mother always set plates out. And, you know, we didn't have any Christmas trees in the house. It was a good plate for snakes and our presents and whatever. Raisins and bananas and oranges and candy and whatnot. And so, but when Santa Claus came back on the way after having been gone down the course of the country, he left us pencils and tablets and school clothes and things like
that. Thank you. Or well, you mean you had Christmas late?
We had it twice.
You had it after your father died?
No, I'm telling you that no, we didn't have it. But then you see, that was. There's a week, you know, after Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, and they would let you have Christmas too. Get two.
That Christmas. Was just once. That's why I said that he did that.
Oh, your daddy did it.
Yeah, of course he was dead. He died either the 3rd or the 5th of January.
Yeah. Oh, and he was sick.
No, he wasn't sick. He did sick when he died.
Why did he tell you all he's doing that?
Well, he didn't tell us. We knew what my mother was as much as been much. Could have been ramrodding, getting the kids ready for school after that.
Oh, I
They'd
see.
Been out.
Oh, but you saying that it was odd that they had you had it two times and then your dad died next week, right?
Well, no, he didn't die from that or anything like that. He died because a week before that, a preacher, you know, they used to come down to Mays Lick on the trains, you know, when they had trains.
Yeah.
after parents and recognition. Anyway, my father was a deacon in the church, too.
In the Baptist church?
Yes, Baptist. Although he stopped short before he died, it didn't work much in it. You know, he said the people would never hold together. Like if they said that he's going to do something, the other deacon said, we'll do this. We will get rid of this creature if he didn't want it, something like that, you know. We can make this move. But when they got there, none of them would do it. They all backed down. And so we were disgusted with it. That's one reason why I never said anything like that. Because he died. He went to this old preacher, got off, and see, we had mail wagons. They would go from Mexico over to Helena, even where Helena is, and we get the mail that had come down on the trains. And so also,
the people
that came down and come to Mexico, he would be hauled by the mail on the mail wagon. So this preacher, instead of coming on down home, sometimes they would do when they came, they would spend the night in our house. He left up in town and had a barber shop and he didn't come down until after my father had his bath and all that and then he'd gone to bed. So he took 3 minutes, someone knocked at the door and my mother told me how it was. And I'd already had been in Slumberland long before that time. But see, I was I wasn't quite seeing him at that time. But anyway, instead of coming on in, see, my father had a bath, see, and had gone to bed. And when he went to open the door, and instead of the old preacher's going in, he had to shake hands, you know, and that's one reason I came not to like preachers for a long time. And stayed there, and my father gave him a cold. That was one of the things. But what happened? Too was that my father changed beds, you see, because we had a bed, we had 4 rooms in the house. And this room over here, these things over here.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to read that.
Here's the fourth one. Well, this is where, here is the door.
The rooms all joined each other?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is front room. This was, but this didn't join. It was made to it, but you had to come in here and into this room, then into this room, then in this room. That's what you did.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, this is where my father, the preacher, stood there and so anyway, he got a part of the bed in this room, and then Ellen and Junior were in bed in this room.
Those are your sisters?
Yeah. And I was here. Well, they hadn't planned. They didn't know he'd come or nothing like that either. So, the bed arrangements had to be made different. So I almost said that they took Ellen and Virginia got in bed with her, and he got slept with that preacher, see. So, changing beds and all like that, see, that was a Saturday night. Well, Monday, my father went to work. And I can see him now, gone go early, before dinner. My mother was washing out here in the kitchen. And I saw him come by the house, come by here, and she was washing the window there in the tub. And I saw a father come around here, and he ran in here in the kitchen doing that. He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I'm sick." And so he went and got in bed in this room. That was a Monday morning. And then he died here in that room the next Sunday before dinner.
So just, he got sick and died that quick. Must have been awful rough on your mom, wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
Tried to keep the family together and do for him.
But my mother was a natural born seamstress. She could do anything like that. So that's what the way she was able to do. Many a night I woke up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and she'd be at the sewing machine. People were good to her. They brought her sewing. And she was good, though. It wasn't all that. It wasn't charity.
Did your mother ever remarry?
Mm-hmm.
She must have been a fairly young woman when your dad died.
She was 36. He was 39.
I tell about you working at Hicks' store.
She could do make anything. She, in a dress, she did good work. So people could, and we brought a lot of her, some of her kinfolk on to break up the kids, you know. And she was an old kid. She did.
And she
did. Or she could have been. She couldn't have been married. But she was. Higher attraction than I was. Several men wanted to marry, but she wouldn't have them. It wouldn't entertain them.
Oh,
so she said she wasn't going to bring any old men in the house and put on her daughters. You know, but sometimes that's a bad thing to do. The old preacher, I mean, I don't preach it to anybody, but a lot of them admire the women and aren't they get close to the girls.
So your mother was protecting her daughters. Well, I don't know that she's so wrong. She sounds like a pretty strong lady, though. I mean, you know, to raise the kids.
She 55 years she was with my father. 55 years.
So she lived to a ripe old age, didn't she?
91 years old was fast. Now, Henry, you're not getting your history in there now. Get your history in there about Maze Lick.
Well, this is Maze Lick. This is part of it. Where was your house?
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing you had to do would be so much better. Yeah, if you could go, see, if I could even be with you, and I could show you those places.
All right. Will you go with me? Go for a ride with me and show me what places? I'd love it.
Well, that's the best thing.
Okay.
I know where this is war, you see.
I'd love it. I really would. If you drive.
They had a bandstand right there in the middle of Maze Lick. Have they told you about that?
I've heard there was. Was it over the well or near
over
the
well?
I don't know if it was over or not, but it was there.
And it was there, and those people would come on Saturday nights, and they'd have their band practice. That was the town square.
Well, they had a band that came with a good teacher. And those Pogue boys, Tony Pogue and Johnny Pogue and some of them girls, too, all that played had instruments.
I wasn't sure whether it was over the well or not.
I think it was
around.
Over the well because, you know, there was all this little lattice work and stuff around on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently the people went in that little thing and got the water because it was a door there. Mm-hmm. See, those things impressed me because, see, I lived out in the country. And when I went to Maze Lick, I was going to town.
Well, it was. It was a vital town.
Yeah. And see, I was living in so-called sticks in the boonies. But anyway, when I went to Maze Lick and I came down that street there, I came in this old big spring road down by the schoolhouse. There was our new schoolhouse. And there was the church, and then there was this little old schoolhouse behind it where some people lived, the Dissemblies, lived back there.
What were their names?
Dissemblies. They lived there for years, had a whole lot of kids. Well, anyway, and then on the left, there's Dr. Davis's big house. I thought that was the prettiest house. Mm-hmm. That house up there where Cross from Catholic Church. That was such a pretty house to me, on the left as you go in, you know. Then there was the Catholic Church. Well, I passed my church, didn't I? All right, and there was an old Scales right there where the Ramses live now. Some kind of old Scales. I guess that was David Scales or somebody's Scales.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there's the Catholic Church. And then there's Dr. Davis's house. And there was another house. That's the Robinson house. And then on the next one was the big Reese place. And across from that was the old funeral parlor that Mr. Collins used to have. What's your name, Henry? Gertrude's father.
Charlie
Collins's funeral parlor on the right side. All right, and then there was a, well, they built Sam Masson's house later. That wasn't there then. And then there was this little house where the little old lady lived that picked up the leaves. Who was she?
Picked up leaves?
Uh-huh. She would have a... She had the cleanest yard I ever saw. And it, that little old lady lived in that little old house where they had that store.
Mrs. Cole, we called.
Cole, that was her name. She would be out in the mornings when I'd go there and take my horse, picking up the leaves and putting them in a bucket, you know. And then across the road, there's this big old hotel, the Long Hotel, the Darnell Hotel, as you called it. Well, one of my little friend's mother worked there, little Lady Ellen Franklin. And, of course, Lady Ellen worked a little bit there, too, sometimes. She'd help wash dishes or something. And then, of course, I took my horse to that stable. And then I'd leave it, and I'd walk back up that street with the rocks, you know, and because over to the Catholic Church, there was this big old Airedale dog that ran up and down the iron fence, and I was scared to death of him. So I would walk this side with in front of Dr. Davis's place, you know, and come on back to school.
Now, but the street was cobblestone or rock?
They are rocks. They just laid. They're still there, aren't they, you know? In front of Dr. Davis's place. All that rock street that we would walk down in front of Reese's and everything. I guess they're still there. I don't know. Do you ever notice?
No.
Well, it used to be a rock.
It was a rock street because I would count rocks and you'd jump from, you know how you do it, from rock to rock.
But that was, it was up high, pretty high too.
Yeah, it was high. We'd walk up steps and go up on, and see, I could see that dog running up down that fence over there, and the parsonage there. There's a man named, the priest was Father Orr, and he had this real black hair and always wore this high white collar, you know, and we'd walk that old dog sometimes, but that old dog would run up and down when we kids were going along there, you see, taking the horse down there. But as I go on downtown, I think that on the left there was a bank, then you ran around the corner, there's Downing's big store, and they had a post office in that, you know, those people live there now, something.
Yeah.
Somebody lives in it. Okay, and then yeah, the
kitchens.
Uh-huh. Well, all that was a big store. You'd get almost anything you wanted there at the grocery store, and they had a little dry goods store on one side, you know, and my mother sometimes would send me to get some thread or some elastic or something she liked to sew, too. And then you went on around, there was that church, Presbyterian
church. Is right
uh-huh.
there.
And then Collins' store, and then over there on the right side, you know, where you've got... that store on the corner?
Mason's?
Yeah, well, that was Rooksbury's store, where the big tan building is, you know.
Oh, no, that's where the furniture store is, you mean?
I don't know where they got there. What they got there, Henry? It was Reese's, and it was Rooksbury. Of course, Rooksbury died.
Well, all that place there, it belonged to Rooksbury never owned it. Well, he eventually, he bought over his cold house, and then he put
put a store there. But anyway, when we were kids, you know, like when it came time for Valentine's Day, well, we'd go down there with 10 to 15 cents and get a whole lot of Valentines, you know. And everybody got Valentine's. You got Valentine for everybody. That was town. And then across, let's see, what else did they have? Oh, they had this, with that old hotel. I mean, the Young's house. You went around the corner, and there was a blacksmith shop. Who was he? Van Camp?
Van Camp for all time, though.
Well, somebody...
But Van Camp finally came there.
Papa would say sometimes, Ethelmarie, you get to get your horse shod. And I would have to go after school, wait with my horse until the man, and I'd stand and watch him, you know, fix the shoe for him.
You probably knew Van Camp there.
I don't know who it was. But anyway, it amazed me to see him stand and take the iron, you know, and shape it, and it was just red hot, and the man would, he'd take it and hammer it like he wanted, and then he'd drop it in that water, and then he'd put it on the horse, and the horse didn't seem to mind a bit.
He didn't cool.
He cooled it, didn't he? What was that for?
Well, then he would take it out, and he'd, see, he'd be red hot, you see. He wanted to measure it. He put that in there to cool it down, and he'd take it. But anyway, we're not going to tell.
But anyway, that was Maze Lick, as I remember it, when I was a little girl.
Mm-hmm. I want to read that.
You want to read
it? Yeah, I want to read that.
Well, these are just my answer. So this is how much you read.
Yeah. Fauci School.
And then
yeah,
they
that's
started.
That's really devastating. Well, we'll talk again some other time.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to wear you all out.
Are you going with her?
I'll go with her and show her something about anything.
You want to go with us, too?
Yeah.
Nope. You can go.
I don't want to go.
Well, you want to go out and huh?
Oh, I've seen Maze Lick Gully. Oh, and you know, Henry, they had a fireground there, too.
That I want to know about.
They had a fireground?
Oh, yeah, there's no joke.
Now, was
Henry Teller about
tell me about the fairground.
Well, it was in two places. It was one that's down there on you know where Ross Farm was, you know. Ross.
Yeah.
Well, you know where Ross House is.
Right.
And you know where all the people on that side come on down.
Down that old Rose past where Barb Boone lives now.
That before those houses were put there, see the and then there was a field, see, you came on there. See, they just cut that. All them houses up and down.
You talking
there.
About down by Sanford Ross's?
Yeah.
Sanford Ross.
All them houses along in there.
Yeah.
I remember when that.
When they built them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And now, wait a minute.
I remember.
Mm-hmm. Where are we talking about?
Now,
there are
two fairgrounds there.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I have no knowledge of that one. Down
there
by Ross's.
When we're talking about
Sanford Ross, where,
mm-hmm.
where are we talking about?
Yeah, Sanford
Ross's part.
I don't know where it is.
Oh,
well,
right,
sure.
Right across some Pokes.
And all them houses built on it.
Uh-huh.
But you see, there had been that ground along there, that back there, where they where these things were, well, see, they had a fire ground. And then and they also had it where shows would come out. I can't think of it.
Ten shows.
Like
ten
Chautauqua?
Shows.
Things
yeah,
like that?
Like them.
Uh-huh.
But,
now the other one was
they
up there?
Had, then, those are, I can't think of the name of them, sir. But anyway, down where we lived on the branch, you see, where I was born and all like that, I'll show you what we did. That was a big lot, about 4 acres. And they were
that's what Ms. Emmons got now, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They rent that out to these people. They would come there every year. But those were both for Indians.
Indians?
Yeah. They had there was the little kids and that all, and they would they would have cages on like wagons,
yeah.
You see, and it'd be horse drawn, and but for instance, there was one. I remember one time we went to that thing, fire show, and we called it there. And all of, they didn't have all of the wagons, you know, out there where people could see them. There was one sitting over in the corner, you know, there. And of course, my sister Ellen, she had, it was a night it was. Yeah, anyway, we had light in there. So she went over and looked at see what was in that cage.
What was in it?
Big old monkey jumped out there and
grabbed him by the heart, didn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be
I
enough to turn you white, wouldn't it?
That broke her, that happened. She didn't do that
no more. It didn't hurt her.
He was, I don't know why, I don't know whether he or she, whatever it was evidently under the weather. See, wasn't taking part in this.
Yeah.
They just had to sit over in his cage. Back on it.
That'd give me a heart attack right there.
Well, you see, the depth of fun.
Got
her. They could stick their hand through the bars, you know. But that broke her of that.
What, now, I've heard that the Maze Lake Fair Association was a black fair association. Am I right or wrong?
It was. That one out there, they could have had two.
Well, they might call it that because it was black people that owned the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
See, there a lot.
His old man, Jordan, what was his
Andy,
name?
Andy
Jordan.
Where he kept his, see, he drove the mail wagon, and he needed two horses, and they had a couple of cows, and they would sell milk around here.
Mm-hmm.
And the people would go down and get it, you see. And they have and these people would come in, they would, these fires, this show, I believe they call that the Brown Show. I think that was the name.
I can't remember that. All the colored people lived up there in Bucktown, except on Mantana White. On Mantana White.
They lived up where?
What they call Bucktown, didn't they, Henry?
Where was that?
I'll show you that too.
Okay.
Up where all of them live, where that Christian
because
church is?
The name of it,
Conway.
Yeah.
Conway
Street.
Yeah, that's what they call it.
Well, you can go in the back, you can see a map of Maze Lake.
Yeah, I've seen maps, you know. Yeah.
One, they got the map of the town that's hanging. Our back at Maze Lake. I guess you keep saying to God.
You know what? And they also had two barbershops.
You mentioned barbershops.
Yes.
Where were they?
Eddie Johnson's barbershop up there in Conway.
Yeah.
And they had old man Cornelius Taylor's shop was down there next to that house, down on that corner there where we talked about Rooksbury store. You called somebody else a tan building there.
Yeah.
There was a barbershop right in there. And he did white people's heads, didn't he?
Yeah, but that was one before that. Of course, that burned up one of the times. And before that, it wasn't there. One of those fires. See, Sarah White, unfortunately, they claim he burned a Maze Lake four times.
Poor man. And yet everybody thought the world of it. I mean, I haven't heard anything about Mr. White, but yet he kept burning the town down.
Well, didn't he live down there on that alley as you go? You remember the alley right there beside where Duncan's place was?
Huh? By the pool room?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Who are you talking about now?
Taylor White. Didn't he live
down
there?
Well, he did there. The first fire, I believe, got it.
Yeah.
That's where he was. Where that pool room is now. That was his store.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. See, like I remember.
Now, was that his store, or was that built where his store was?
Well, that where it is now, building now, it was replaced, you know.
Yeah.
The building there now.
He was down on the side of that alley. And listen,
I think he got two of them down there. On that, but after he moved from down there, he went somewhere on up above that where that blacking shop
was.
That's
a shame, though.
And
but
then it happened again. See?
When the fires would get get started, they would burn for days because we kids came downtown just to see if we're still burning.
See if they're still going.
They wouldn't be on it fierce.
But you know, the embers and stuff and old logs and stuff, it would burn for a long time.
And that last time the wind blew the sparks way down there to the end of that lane, you know, down there. And set fire to the stuff that was in the lead cars, and that burned a house and down there belonged to my aunt. One more mother's name.
Ain't
Winnie's house.
Oh. Well, I heard there was houses all down there behind the pool room at one time.
There were. But listen, when you went down there, Henry, beside the pool room and went over there to where Van Swing's used to live, that big old house, what was that big old house? Was that a hotel or something?
The house that's still standing up there?
Uh-huh, the big old house over there on the side of the hill. Van Swing's lived there.
I know, but I don't think that was a hotel.
It wasn't.
I don't know.
It was a double house then.
It was just a double house.
Question. Have either one of you ever heard anything about a Frawley house in Maze Lake?
Uh-huh.
Frawley house.
I don't know. It could have been, but see, God says none of those things happened before.
What's a Frawley house?
House of prostitution is my understanding of it.
Oh, well, I don't know whether. Well,
I never heard anything like that. Well, but they could have been.
But they, well, they didn't have therapy. I don't know. Anyway,
that was the town. I'm telling you, that was the biggest little town that I lived in.
Yeah, and I heard there was five taverns at one time in Mays Lick, too.
Five taverns.
And I'm... Now that was.
You mean five stores?
No,
taverns,
five taverns.
Places to give drinks.
Drinks, but that was even before your all's time. I mean, you know. But I was wondering if maybe you'd heard any stories about that growing up.
I've never heard any.
Well, there's
a derelict there. I heard of that.
Maybe, that's why they called it. The Lord got his name.
What?
Basically.
A derelict.
Where that cover is, you know where that. Yeah. Under the bridge down there by where the church was, you know, the spring, you know, and the deer just come around and
so they called Mays Lick Deer Lick at
first. Yeah, Mays,
you see, this Mays was quite, he was good in settling Maysville and Mays Lick. He owned a lot of land. And then that's how Maysville got its name, you know, the man Mays came down there and saw this nice place inside there in the valley. And so, but he moved on out evidently. He didn't own everything now from Maysville to Mays Lick, but evidently he owned a big part of that out there too. Yeah. And the deer came there, of course, that's why it was a lick. And then they just named it Mays Lick because he had owned the ground. And then... Well, they had a lick up there, too, blue licks, too.
Yeah, there's licks all along in there.
He was brought the water down and
get some of that.
Sure enough. Yeah. That's where the Indians got there, too.
Have you ever heard any stories growing up about Indian fights around Mays Lick?
No, but there was one about blue licks.
Blue licks, they had a big...
Yeah, but you never heard any around Mays Lick.
Oh, there was a place, though, and there was a lot of water. It used to be a hill there between Washington and Mays Lick.
The Fox Field.
No, I can't think of that. What's the name of that hill? You know
Doogie's Hill?
That.
What are you talking about now?
Between coming down and coming from Mays Lick down to Washington.
You talking about Doogie's Hill?
No.
Doolin's Hill?
I don't think it was that. I said it might be in one before he got to that. The fellow got away from some Indians by outrunning them over that hill. I'm trying to think of what his name was.
I don't know.
Warren's Run, I believe. Warren's Run. And the hill back.
Warren's Run?
Yeah, you ought to remember that.
Wait a minute, are you talking about going down by Piles's?
You didn't get to Piles's, but before you got to Piles's.
From Mays Lick? On 68.
Well, be over where Ross's live. And Barbara Boone, there's a hill there.
That's the only one I would know.
Down
around there where the Gulch used to live down the bottom. Shepherd.
No, that would be no hill.
No, that ain't a hill.
But you see, it's a good piece for Mays Lick down there to see Piles' farm land is on North Park. North Park was 4 miles from Mays Lick. And Mays Lick. And they were about 4 miles from Washington, 8 miles, and then and Maysville was 4 miles from Washington. So that's amazing. That's why Maysville, we all thought called city, was 12 miles from Maysville. Yeah. And Warren's Run. I think some fellow named Warren escaped. He got out. He outran him. Oh, that hill.
Oh, shoot.
But we
Warren's Run, WARRENS.
Evidently, the Indians didn't do too much around, stay around here too much, though. I think
they did, though, out there on Parker's and Sandy's fields. Well, we had my father worked out in there, and sometimes they would fly off an Indian grave. They didn't make them graves weren't. But the Indians would they would just put rocks up along like that around, lay them down in there. And seeing this couple, we'll put more rocks on them, see.
So just sort of make a rock fence around where they laid the bodies and then poured more rocks on top?
Yeah, and then it also, they would also put some of the tools, I mean the weapons and things like that.
You mean, and then they would lay the Indians on top of one another?
Oh.
No, each Indian.
Oh, just running around the circle like they did over on Fleming Road?
No, I don't know. They would be, because those grays, sometimes all depends. Sometimes, I imagine if they had a great big wildlife fire, there was a place, and it still is, over on the highway.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. There is a mound over there on that old...
They said...
it's not Vespice Rights or something like that. Somebody's place over on Fleming Road, there is a big mound where they have made the new road over on the right.
They wouldn't let them plow in there.
And they wouldn't let them plow it up. It's an Indian burial ground.
Right? And they've never... Nobody's ever dug it.
On top of each other, see.
If they had, they hadn't said anything about it because it's supposed to be sacred or something, so they don't buy it.
And that's on Flemingsburg Road, on 11?
Over on 11. It's shortly after you would be coming to the, well, across the Maple Leaf Road. Going up there, and it's up on the left. I'd say about 2 or 3 miles. I'm seeing that. Does the road kind of go away from that now?
Well,
you still can
see it. Still goes by.
Yeah, you still goes by, as you can see. You still see the map.
In fact, his road got a little closer to it.
Uh-huh.
But, I don't think it. But anyway, my father, we had some Indian things, Indian
relics, you mean?
Yeah, some of the arrowheads and tomahawks and things like that. They would plow them up, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or,
Yeah, because they believe that they need them in the happy hunting ground.
Yeah.
See, here, in the bluegrass region, the Indians didn't live here. They just come here. To hunt.
And then
when they met each other, different tribes would have a big fight. Then, of course, that bird that was got killed, they burned it. Never out there. Bluegrass really, this is the Union Kentucky Valley. Are you a Kentucky?
By adoption. No, I'm a Missourian.
There's a bluegrass region. Eastern and Western coal fields, knobs, and Jackson purchase.
But I think the Indians used Kentucky primarily for fighting.
Up here on the bluegrass, it was noted for its game, you know.
Yeah.
Here and streams.
They called it the bloody ground, didn't they? The dark and bloody ground.
Because so much.
Because they fought so much here, and
they killed up here.
They had fights up. And up around Blue Licks, that was a big place. But you see, it was, you know, when Boone first came through to come down in here, they had to hack their way through because there was so much wilderness. Have you ever been to Boone National Park up in there?
No, I've got to go. I thought we'd go this spring, Matthew and I.
It's just almost just like that. And it's huge. But and we think about how in the world could he make it, hacking their way through. But they'd find little open places, and of course they came on down here. And of course he and Simon Kenton and all, they were supposed to have been the ones who settled around in here.
But according to the records that I've seen, Mays Lick is as old as Washington.
Yeah. It probably is.
And probably older.
This year should be our 200th birthday, and I think we're older than that.
Mm-hmm. It might be. But
see, they had more things at Washington than they had in Maine.
Did they?
We never had all the things that we didn't have. Washington.
Heck, Washington didn't have any music hall in the center of the town, and
they used to have big political meetings here. I know.
You know what? I bet you Mays Lick was bigger, Henry.
Huh? Mays in Washington, even down had a place there where they sold slaves.
They sold slaves in Mays Lick too.
Did they?
I didn't know.
Where'd you find that out?
In some of my research.
Sure
I have seen where they did have auctions, slave auctions.
I didn't know they had that.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah, that some were sold. Most of the families, though, in this part of Kentucky, kept their slaves. I mean, they were. It was part of family. Mm-hmm. But it was slaves brought in down the river from Virginia in that direction that were sold. But yes...
Well, I know they had it in Washington, but
they
I didn't
did. All your towns, I probably sold slaves to some extent.
You know.
And I know Reverend Greenlee was here and saw the slave trains come through Mays Lick, and he wrote it in his autobiography. Have you ever read Greenlee's autobiography?
No.
It's up at the museum. It's a small book, and I just loved it.
Sure enough.
Uh-huh.
I haven't read it.
He was a black minister.
Greenlee.
Greenlee. He was a black minister, and whoever owned him, and I don't know, I can't remember now, let him go from community to community. And he said, in fact, he was freer as a slave than when he bought his freedom eventually. Because as a slave...
Hey, is that the guy that, Elisha Green? Yeah, that started the Baptist Church down in Maysville? I bet it is.
Probably is.
I bet it is.
And he wrote his own autobiography. And there's a copy at the museum.
Well,
and if you get a chance, you ought to read it.
I've been intending to go down there, but it seems like I keep busy.
Well, it's one of those things. But I did some research on it this year.
Well,
my
grandma, on my mother's side, my great-grandmother would be, she had six husbands.
Six husbands.
I saw it.
Well, be careful.
Anyway,
you tell them why they had.
Why'd she have six husbands?
Well, I don't know. Well, I know the last one that she had.
See, not at one time now. They'd
they didn't have them all at the same time. But she's Grandma Branch.
Was she a slave in her?
Yeah.
She was like,
she had six sets of children. See,
how many kids you had?
I don't know how many she had, but I mean, those names.
No,
you got.
Was it because her husbands were sold?
Because they would sell them.
Sell
some of them.
And sell them and give them another one. Get her another one. Isn't that the way they did it?
Yeah.
And then, they had to get rid of that one.
And sell them down the river.
They called it selling them down the river. That would make them go down south, you know. And it was supposed to be bad to have to be sold down to Georgia and those places, you know.
I would say it would. I would say the life expectancy would be pretty short.
Yeah. And they would, if they were mean and hard to control, then a lot of times they'd get rid of them. And so they'd sell them off. Well, they had this woman here. She's supposed to keep the thing going, see. So they give her another man. And he said, that's what. And who married them, Henry?
Well, they're supposed to have marriages.
Some of them, that's why you don't have any records. Like, we go around and look for records sometimes and wondering that. Like, I can't go any farther than just my grandparents up there. They didn't keep any half-breed records.
No.
And see, my dad was a Bolin. All right, and Bob Bolin. There's old man, what was it? My grandpa was named Ely Bolin. All right, Ely Bolin was married to Belle Hicks, right?
Don't you put those up yet. I want to look at them.
Oh, yeah.
All right. But that's all the farther I can go.
Go back.
Because I don't know where they came from. I always had the feeling I always wanted to go to New Orleans. I told Henry, I said, I want to go to New Orleans. I believe they came down there. But anyway, I don't know where they came from.
Probably came across from Virginia in that direction.
They could have.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know anybody, but I don't know where the Bolins came from. I don't know where they got that name or anything. And then when Papa told us, he didn't know. And in fact, you know what? We didn't have something to ask all that stuff. And then when we weren't that interested in the history then, and we should have, you know. But as far as I know, you see, they just dropped right there. They came in Bay's Lake. That's it. I don't know where Grandma Hicks came from.
Probably the only way you could do it maybe is trace some of the white families that came into Mays Lake.
Yeah, and if they'd tell you who they had as slaves.
Well, a lot of them did. They would write it down in their Bibles. Or they would, I'm looking for old family Bibles too. Or they would write it in the church records that so-and-so joined, like the Baptist church, and brought their slaves.
And then they'd name them.
And they'd name them. And that's one way. It's a rough way to go, but it might be, you know, be part of the way to get to it.
You could get to it. We had thought one time that maybe Miss Yancey was asking us, had we tried?
Yeah.
And she tried, and she couldn't find anything.
Yeah.
So we figured that the Yanceys didn't keep for a good record set or something, because we knew that my father's father worked for the Yanceys.
But with the name Bolden, they probably took it from one set. Probably from a master of...
No, we had white Boldens around here in Mason County, but as far as we know, they didn't own those people.
But now you have white blood, right?
Somewhere, but I don't know where.
Yeah.
I guess it either came from my mother's side. from my mother's side of the family. And then, because my mother came from Fleming County. And then, let's see, now how did she, and her mother, what'd she say, and mother came from, what's Cynthiana? Harrison County. Harrison County. But that's as far as she can go. She knew about her grandmother, too. Her grandmother came from up in there in Harrison County. And the old, the grandfather, she said they sold him because he was hard to get along with.
But you don't know his name, even a first name.
Yes, she knew his, but I don't know, I can't remember now. It was Ellis. That's all I remember. I can't remember what the first name was.
So,
but they sold him back to down south or something because he was hard to manage. And then the little old grandma stayed up in there somewhere around Fleming County. And then she had several children. Well, they evidently had come from Harrison County because I used to think it was so crazy that my grandma said that she had sisters over to Harrison in Harrison County, and she never did go over and look them up. She was an old lady, of course, when she died, and that was back years ago.
So the family was probably split up.
I bet they were split up
when they were young, and just well, transportation, you know.
Yeah, and then see, she had to work for somebody.
Yeah,
and then that grandma worked for somebody, and then, and I didn't know where I couldn't go any further than my grandma's husband on that side. I don't know where he came from. I guess in Fleming County someplace. That was on my mother's side. But see, I can just go back to the grandpa's.
I think since so many people are becoming interested, you know, now I'm trying to copy off old family Bibles and everything. And that it may not happen. It may be your next generation.
If you see something that comes up in there about some of them, give it to me, well, a family Bible.
I'm hoping to get everything I can together so that I will have it available to people in Mays Lake area. I don't know that I'll get things for every person, but every piece I can get, it just, it's one more piece of the puzzle.
But it's,
but Elisha Green was in the Mays Lake area.
Well, that's that old man who started that church.
And you really should go, if you get a chance, go down to the museum. They've got a copy. I almost never found one.
Yeah.
Because they're out of print. And
I'm sure they would be. What are you looking for, honey?
Looking for that list I had. My great-grandma's names.
Well, you wouldn't have them in those magazines, would you? You've been looking at them recently?
I saw one here just not too long ago. Maybe in here.
Well, we look for it. When you find it, let me know. And what did you just do with all those papers? Because I wanted to read that
she
on school.
She wants to read that paper. Where'd you go off with it?
He walked it.
Away. I don't have the one complete copy, and I don't want to get scattered around.
Well, I don't want to take it. I wanted to just read it.
She wanted to read something you had there.
Well, I'll come back and we'll read it another day. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've gone on this so long, and I usually don't try to stay over an hour because I don't want to wear my welcome out.
I might have stuck it in this thing.
If you've got one of those like me, you may never find it.
Yeah.
I just saw it here recently. I didn't know when it was down here.
And he had your name or all your folks?
Your all there.
Maybe that looks old.
That looks older, doesn't it?
It's in my shoelaces.
But you know, I think Mays Lake didn't get on the historical register because they didn't have anybody to push it. See, Washington got on there because... Washington got on it because Washington pushed, they pushed Washington, those woods and all those, you know. And then there's the people, Christine Gannon and all that bunch there in town, and Miss Duke. See, they all closely connected that, and they dug up that the history and stuff. We didn't know that all of that was true about Washington.
Well, I was real surprised how flourishing Mays Lake was at one time.
Oh, yeah, it was.
You were talking about carrying lanterns. Is that what you would, in the evenings when you went someplace?
When they'd go to church.
Yeah, carry.
I could see those women now. And like when we'd have us play at night at the schoolhouse. We had lights in the schoolhouse, and they were run by, what was in here, a Delco light plane. We had nice lights, nice electric lights, you know, and I know I liked those so much because at home we had these old coal lamps that we sat around, and we, at the nights when we got our lessons at the kitchen table, Mom would fix the lamps up there, and we'd sit at the kitchen table and get our lessons.
Talking about getting lessons, Brenda Hester told me to ask you about getting a bath when you were little.
In the tub.
She said, ask her how her mom used to bathe them.
In the tub, in the washing tub.
In a wash tub.
Yeah, and we heat the water. You know, we always had this old water beside the stove,
uh-huh.
The big old stove in the kitchen that had a reservoir, they called it, beside it. That'd be the main hot water. Then you'd put it on in tea kettles and whatnot, and we used a round wash tub, and you got behind the stove, those old stoves that they put the coal in, and sometimes they had the tin on it, because I burnt my belly once on there. I think each of us had a scar all on the front of our
families. Your mother knew whose kids they were.
Where we was standing on the washing tubs and wash. They took a bath in that. Dump the water in there, and the next one to come on, and you get it. That's funny, though. But just thinking, we lived through all that.
And you did fine. You had a good
Yeah, and all those old outdoor toilets and everything. And just like I was thinking about that, we had electric lights at school, but there at home, see, we had this coal lamps. I remember my mother had a Aladdin lamp, though. We got mighty glad when she got that, because, oh, it just made the prettiest light, because it had that little mantle.
Uh-huh.
And you to put the coal in, of course, and then it had a wick, and you turned it up. Ooh, it was just the prettiest little bright light. So she got that later on as we got the, had the more lessons to get. But then, it was interesting. Just thinking they killed hogs every year, and you wouldn't fool that kind of stuff now.
You remember them killing hogs?
Oh, Lord, yes. Dad and them kill hogs every year. Maybe that's it, Henry. All these little things, you better put your glasses on.
She's seeing me do things.
Yeah.
Remember. You do things and tell me to do
things. You sound like my dad. You look a lot like my father, through the eyes. And your little nice shiny head. You might.
And we have a son's head's almost as shiny. His just makes a streak right straight up through here. And he says, Mama, my bald head.
When you just said that about your wife, I sound like my dad. We used to get mad at my mother. He'd say, Now, Mary. I know what I'm doing. So, What all did you have? Did you raise your own vegetables and everything?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And she sold eggs, had her chickens and sell eggs, and buy what groceries that they needed. And, of course, we had cows for milk, and she'd sell the cream. We separated the milk, that took the cream over to Helena Station, put it on the train, sent it to Maysville. And then I remember that was when we were living out there on the Chanklin place. They finally got a refrigerator. And Henry and I were talking about the day how the ice the people would come from Flemingsburg, bring the ice on a truck, and my sister and I would drive over there with the old horse and buggy and get the men, would put the 50-pound hunk of ice in there, bring that back and put it in the refrigerator. Oh, we're so glad we got that. That was really a step up, see.
It was.
Yeah, I have ice water in the summertime. Yeah. And keep her milk from a sire and whatnot. It did, but my mother had chickens, turkeys, geese, and she worked. Sometimes she had guineas, and of course we had our own hogs, and we had the cows, of course. We didn't kill a beef, not then, because I guess they couldn't keep it, But they'd kill those hogs every year and cure that meat. We talked about how they used to put the spare ribs down in salt, the backbones in salt. And I declared, when I got to be grown up, I'd never go to eat a piece of spare rib or backbone because it was always salty. Even though they would soak it out,
Even more so than the hams?
Oh, the hams were delicious. I always liked them. But the backbone, see, they put in brine. That was what made it. And why did they put them in the brine, Henry? To keep them. That's the only way to cut, isn't it?
Yeah, they were going to eat them.
if they were going to eat it.
Well, don't worry about that. You're gonna run across those names.
Yeah.
And when you do, then
and then
we'll
you can
look
put them in that other stuff you're gonna.
Yeah.
Let her see. Yeah.
And if you come across any photographs taken when you guys were growing up around Maze Lick, I'd love to
the
see them.
The one I remember is the one of Uncle Jim Hicks. You do have that, don't you, Henry?
Does Henry? Oh, yeah, I've got him.
Yeah.
Well, when you get a chance, I mean, not
and
today.
And they're all in black and white.
That well, I know, that's fine.
Oh, I've got a whole lot of pictures.
I'm going to get them.
Well,
good. A Maze Lick and
well, not
people?
No, they're just people.
Well, that'd be great because I would like to. I'm going to get a machine in where I can take photos of photos. That I can, you know, keep.
This is, uh-huh. This is, see, he was just dressed up in his, he's a,
in his lodge outfit.
Mason is, some kind of order, and he's all proud of it.
And you know what else about Maze Lick? Did they tell you about, as you went on down 68, down below Collins's and everything down, they had another store, Craycraft store, Pete Craycraft.
Yeah,
and it burned up when Henry and I were living in Maze Lick, about 1940 or 41, somewhere along there. Who was that man? Disher? Yeah. Who was the guy that left that? Old man Pete Craycraft was dead. See, they had a store down there.
It wasn't Disher, though. I can't think of what it was.
I can't think of his name either. But anyway.
Well, he killed, didn't he? He killed himself, though, didn't he? I believe after burning up, that fellow killed himself on the same day.
I don't know, but I know I got up one morning and saw all this black smoke rolling up, and it was that store. But see, they had.
Yeah, and killed it there.
Maze Lick, that's why I say Maze Lick to me was a bigger town than Washington. Of course, now I don't know how many stores they had in Washington or anything, but see all those different places I named that you could go there.
About the mayor owned one that had that.
Mayhurst.
Mayhurst.
Well, no, there's one across the street, you know.
Across from it. But I mean, it would come later. I mean, it's from
one,
the
two. They had three when we moved. They had Larkin's store, Mayhair's store, and
how would you spell Mayhair?
M-A-H-E-R, and who's that now? Glass, but who? I don't remember his name. He's dead. On the other corner, where the. Morris's Leah now. They bought that. That was a store.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you all talking to me this afternoon. And the tape recorder didn't scare you too much, did it?
I bet you're going to have to cut a lot of that stuff when you...
No, I won't cut.
Well, you should. Erase
I'd
some of that.
I'd like to come back and visit again. I really would, because I think there's a lot... I'm going to turn this off now.
If we can...